Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Join the growing crowd at Mid-Delta Online Auction. Download their app by searching Mid-Delta Auction to bid on tractors, trailers, heavy equipment, golf carts, and more. Download the app today or call Will Jeffcoat at 662-299-2414 for more details for the first Tuesday of every month auction in Greenwood.
Roll pre-record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, everybody, let's go. Super Talk Eagle Hour is back on the air from the Southern Bancorp studio here in Hattiesburg. Bob, Kelly, Dima, all with you today. Opening segment of the show is sponsored, as it is every day, by Dickey's Barbecue Pit. Great supporters of our program. Great supporters of Southern Miss, and just a wonderful place to take your family for a great meal any night of the week. All right, Coach Christian Ostrander about to join us as Golden Eagle baseball soars to number 6 in this week's Perfect Game college baseball poll, number 7 in D1, and the coaches poll, number 8 in Baseball America, and the Golden Eagles retain the number 1 RPI in the country after a 4-1 week where they knocked off Mississippi State, 3 games against North Alabama, and of course dropped a Wednesday night 2-3 contest to Nichols. Coach Christian Ostrander joins us as he does every Monday, and Coach, a really solid weekend. Your guys win all three. Your pitching staff just as lethal as always. Your observation about your weekend performance.
Yeah, I thought it was really complete. You know, very proud of the guys. I thought we pitched it really well. Had good starting pitching, good bullpen pitching, which we've been seeing that, and then offensively, it was. We didn't just explode with runs, but we did well with it, in my opinion, and I thought we were very opportunistic with it and did what we had to do. Just really proud of watching the guys get back in that win column after a tough loss on Wednesday.
Coach, sometimes this is kind of a layman's question, but sometimes teams that play real high-level collegiate competition seem to struggle a little bit offensively against pitchers who do not have a lot of velocity but seem to move the ball around a lot and throw it at speeds that at times are much lower than what they're normally seeing. Is there an explanation for that?
There could be, that could be a real thing. Your first 12 games we played were against really, kind of high caliber arms, more velocity that, consistently and this, that, and, then your last four games, it's a little different, and a lot of pitching backwards, soft mix is what we call it. And when that happens, it really requires the hitter to be much more disciplined, and which, using the backside and not getting out in front, and which is easier said than done. So, whatever it is what it is. You got to adjust and be able to make those adjustments quickly. And I thought we did in some areas for sure this weekend.
Dima?
Coach, you mentioned it on the start there, but the starting pitching this weekend, I thought this weekend was a chance for all three of those guys to really gain some confidence coming into conference play this week. Colby goes 6 innings, Harris goes 7 innings, then you got a really, really good start from McCarty English on yesterday's game with 5 innings pitched. What was different about their outings this weekend?
I think just one, all of them pounded the strike zone really well. Which is, kind of a staple of what we try to do here. And, Colby's to me was just continuing to grow. I think, if we don't lose a ball in the twilight sky in that first inning, he might have got you 7 innings because that pitch count would have been, where we would have been comfortable doing that. Graydon was electric. They couldn't, that fastball had a lot of hair on it that day. And, he pitched really well, high strike percentage. And I thought McCarty, his strike numbers were outstanding yesterday, landing 2 different all-speed pitches when he wanted to and a good heater. So it's good to see those guys, just continue to take steps forward.
When you moved Kyle Morrison down to maybe the fifth, sixth hole, you know, that's kind of when he's been sitting at for the past couple of weeks. I thought he would see a lot more fastballs, which is really where he just tears up fastballs. And this weekend, I think he batted like 500 or something like that over the weekend. Had just a monster weekend for you guys.
Yeah, it's like having a three-hole hitter in your sixth hole, because right. He is. That's what he is. So, you know, really like the feel and the flow of that. You know, it's just – there's not a lot of, you know, places, you know, in the lineup where you can just really exhale and just cruise through it. So at least that's what we want. And having him there just really feels right.
Coach, I want to go back to McCarty English. In fact, we're going to try to interview him later this afternoon. Was that his best outing yet, what we saw yesterday?
For this year, yeah, I think so. There's no doubt. Yeah, I thought he was very efficient. I think he struck out five, didn't walk anybody, I don't think. Maybe walked one and you know, and just scattered, what, two or three hits, I think. So three, I thought it was really good.
Coach, put in perspective how difficult it is for a kid to overcome an injury and the setbacks that youngster experienced last year.
Yeah, well, you know, rehab, there's a physical rehab and there's a mental rehab to it. And, you know, when you're coming back, and the physical's easy. I mean, you can kind of see that and do it, feel it, whatever. The mental part is the thing that sometimes is the hardest thing to overcome, which – anything that, you know, mentality wise is the hardest thing over physical. But, you know, I just think it's never perfect, right? You can't just use, well, this guy's recovery and comeback was like this. Well, this guy's was like, everybody's different. And it takes some time. And he had to weather a little adversity last year for sure. We all saw it and we all felt for him with that. And so to see him get through that and better for it, you know, is really special to see.
And one thing I haven't asked you about is how, the evaluation of your new pitching coach that you brought in from Louisiana. You guys seem to really work well together. And, I mean, I have to believe that both of you really feel like you got your finger on the pulse of the staff right now.
Man, it's been great. You know, Coach Leger's It's been a tremendous blessing for me. You know, he's got a good voice. He's got a strong voice. He's got experience. And, you know, it's almost like because, you know, he didn't play for me or I never coached him and stuff, you know, he's not afraid to hurt my feelings either. So in a good way. And, you know, and you need that and stuff. So, but I think we complement each other well. I know the players love him and they have really received him and he's just brought a ton, you know, stuff, you know, whether it's physical stuff, mental stuff, relationship, and doing a fine job, you know, calling the game, helping call the game, and the suggestions. It's been fun. I've really, I feel very lucky that we got him here.
Oz, walk us through a moment, like, let's just say, for example, if it was me on the mound, which would never happen, of course, but me on the mound, and I was struggling. Is it there a sense?
You would be.
I would be struggling.
Yeah, you would be.
If you're wondering, Oz. But do you kind of look at Coach Leger and y'all kind of like, you know, have eye contact? You're like, okay, it's time to go get him, or is it still all your decision? Just wondering what that balance is like there.
Well, a lot of times it gets pretty obvious.
Right.
You know, those are the easy ones.
Now, it would be very easy for me, Coach.
Well, some of them are very easy to identify. The ones that are hard, like, do you get greedy? Do you send him back out? Do you try to get one more hitter? And he's been a good voice with me on, you know, staying adamant, like, hey, it's time, you know, let's and you know, a lot of times it's right. I love extending and trying to let a guy work through some things sometimes. But when you have a staff like we have, you don't have to ask that as much.
Right.
You know, you can go on to the next. And kind of like you saw yesterday when J-Dub didn't have it. He didn't have it. And he wasn't, and we're not going to let it blow up to anything. And then, you know, Dylan comes in and dang near gets out of it, you know. And
yeah.
But it's good having those, that sounding board, that advice, and somebody you respect and that has good feel for it too.
And that's something that, you know, over past several few seasons, you know, you haven't had that, where you have so many players in the bullpen, Oz, that, like you said, doesn't mean JW is a bad pitcher. Sometimes you just go out there and it just doesn't work for you on a single night, and you don't have to ride that pitcher like you've had to in the past. You can go get someone else in this deep bullpen.
You're right, and that's a luxury. And
right.
It feels like 2022 in that regards for me a little bit, that, you know, when you say, well, he doesn't have it, but we'll put this guy in, he can do it. And so that's, yeah, I mean, a good bullpen, and, you know, it's such an important piece of a good team.
All right, we're talking to baseball coach Christian Ostrander. Of course, hard to believe, but league play begins this weekend. We're already through the preseason. About 40 seconds left in this segment, Coach. Has it gone by as fast for you as it has for us that we're already playing league baseball this Friday night?
Well, it does, but it's been, you know, it's been a blast. Don't get me wrong, but you know, we felt it. We feel it a little bit. And when you're trying to be excellent, when you're trying to be elite, you know, you just every day you got to grind it out, and it's fun and it's awesome, and our players are doing that. So it's been a good 4 weeks, and now look forward to, you know, conference play starting up this weekend.
Real quick before we hit the break, if you were going to put an A to F grade on quote unquote the preseason, which I guess in a way ended yesterday, what would that grade be?
An A minus.
Yeah. Okay. Hard. That minus is from them two losses, right, Coach?
That's right. There's no perfection stuff. I don't think there's such thing as A plus in baseball.
Well, it'd be an F if I was pitching Oz. So.
Jack got that 39
mile
an hour,
28 mile an hour fastball.
He's still got a year eligibility too.
He does.
We'll be back more with Coach Oz next.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
What a great off-air conversation that was. Happy to say Coach Oz was involved.
All I can say is if the listeners heard what happened off the air, we would not be a show.
And if baseball doesn't work out for them, there's always stand-up comedy right there.
All right, Coach Oz, we'll try to get back to college baseball. No rest for the weary, 14-2, which is just remarkable. I mean, it's just unbelievable. But you got Ole Miss coming in tomorrow night, and then you go up to Arkansas State, which it appears that Arkansas State is going to be a pretty tough, competitive member of the league this year, Coach.
There's no doubt about it. We knew that was coming. You know, Mike Silva, a lot of respect, known him a long time. He's done a great job, you know, got Nichols back, you know, going, took him to a regional now, and, you know, he's up there doing it, and he's a good coach, really good coach, and so it's gonna be a handful, there's no doubt.
I don't want to jump over anything. I do want to talk to you a little more about the league, because that's what's most important. But another marquee midweek game with Ole Miss coming here into town, and you know, it's really good to have both of those schools from up north come down here and play. And, it generates a lot of national publicity, and I know the guys probably get pretty pumped up about playing in-state rivals, right?
Absolutely. I mean, it's good. It's, you know, something – we got five SEC games on our schedule. That's great for, you know, your resume, RPI purposes, stuff like that, what you're trying to build. So, but it's more about the opportunity as well. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, and – we look forward to it. They got a great team. You know, been watching video, and all coaches are trying to dissect things. And as usual, they're good. I mean, they're very good. And you were going to have to play a good game to have a chance to beat them for sure.
Obviously, it's the success of your team that has been uppermost, but it is the difficulty of the schedule that you've had so much success in that created this number one RPI, which is now going on for week number two. And you knew that when you made that schedule, that it created that potential, didn't you?
You certainly felt like it could. You know, obviously, you had to believe that Santa Barbara was going to be a good team, good year. When you put this on paper 2 years ago, you couldn't forecast everything, right? But you believe that's a really strong top 50 RPI type club, and then the tournament in Round Rock, you're playing good opponents and just so on, all that stuff. So you hope so, and you're at the mercy of the team that you scheduled 2 years in advance and hoping that they're really good and playing well, when that time comes.
I don't believe, Dima, that Santa Barbara's lost a game since they left.
Yeah, they haven't. They've won every game since that rubber match here in Hattiesburg. Oz, I was curious if you've ever seen the Clone Wars or, like, Star Wars clones before.
I have, I'm pretty sure I have.
Okay. I've compared your freshman arms to the Clone Army because they all have shaved heads and look the same but come in and just, like, dominate. What can you say, what you've seen from these freshman arms? I still don't think they've given up an earned run yet.
You know, to me, it's just the poise and I don't know, the competitiveness, they've grown since they got here. You know, Coach Max got them stronger in that weight room that started last July. They come here and, for a 6-7 week, period in the summer and to get ahead of things. They've grown throughout the fall, and just with understanding, how we do things and our objectives and just pitches, stuff like that. So it's been fun to watch that. But they have to have what they're showing. They got to be the ones that has the mentality and the calmness, the trust, and the belief, and they're doing that. So very, very proud of that group, and they still got a long way to go. I think there's a lot more meat left on that bone, which is exciting.
The last 2 weeks, midweeks against SEC opponents, kind of saw that inning-by-inning staff approach. Is that how you're going to approach it tomorrow night, or maybe extend a guy?
There might be a little more extension tomorrow. We'll see. We got plenty of options, and I don't think anybody would be too long, no more than three innings, and it could be less than that. Just got to see how the rhythm goes with it. The game will tell you a lot. We'll know quickly what's working and what's not.
Coach, what do you expect from Arkansas State this weekend? What kind of ball club? What is their game, I guess, is what I'm asking.
Their pitching staff, they do a great job. They throw a lot of strikes. They're not going to beat themselves, so to speak. I think they might run out three left-handed starters on the weekend, which, there might have been some years where we'd be like, oh, my gosh, what are we going to do? But, that doesn't scare me too much. Just solid, man, just fundamental. Just going to play good baseball. They're not going to more than likely beat themselves. You got to go execute a good baseball game.
How good is it that the league has started off so hot, Coach, with Arkansas State, South Alabama also playing well, also Louisiana, really playing well. They took one from LSU the other night and won a really nice series at Dallas Baptist. And I guess, for your conference to start off so well, and you can't ever forget Coastal, that has to feel really good.
It does. I mean, that's what we need. It looks like the West is going to be beefed up. Arkansas State, Lafayette, South Al all putting together really good seasons. Troy scuffling a little bit, but their capabilities are there. Texas State's having a good year. So, yeah, I mean, and we play all those guys. So
sure.
It's going to be a challenge on our end, but hopefully that helps everything, that we're working towards. And as far as the other side of the league, I mean, I'm not sure on all those, but we'll cross over with a few of them. But, yeah, it's good when the league's doing well. It makes everything better for everybody.
Our final question for me, Coach, you mentioned South Alabama. Kyle Morrison is a kid that kind of jumps off the map to me. He has really fit in well, has he not, and really made a big contribution early here in the year.
He's been great. He's been, just what the doctor ordered. To lose a player like Monastir at second base last year, what he did offensively and defensively, I feel like Kyle is, you don't ever replace a guy, but he's jumped in there and, you really haven't missed a beat. So really, really glad he's here, and he seems to love it. I know he's glad he's here, one of the biggest reasons he wanted to come here is because he wanted to win and win championships.
And it seems like everything is right on track in that regard. Any final thoughts before we let you go today, Coach? Any message you might have for the fan base?
No, just thank you for the energy you bring and the support. I hope these boys are making you proud, and we got a long way to go, and and going to keep punching. And we just ask y'all to just continue to come and be rowdy, be noisy, and support these young men.
One game at a time, right, Coach Oz?
That's it. That's the name of the game, one at a time.
All right, Coach. Thanks very much, sir. We appreciate your time every Monday.
All right, thank y'all.
Christian Ostrander, everybody. I don't know, guys, 14-2, you know, I said that to him off air, and he kind of laughed. He says, yeah, well, we shouldn't have lost that Wednesday night game.
Yeah.
But other than that, I mean, this is just a near-perfect start, Dana.
Yeah, it really has been. I mean, and I think what's been even equally as impressive as the records it reflects is the fact that they really haven't played perfect baseball.
Right.
And I think that's what's scary for the rest of the country, is that when this team is firing on all cylinders like we think they might can. I mean, let's honestly, if we're being honest, the offense has not been great.
It wasn't great all week.
It wasn't great all week, right? You've had struggles with certain guys and stuff. You have to think that that's going to fix itself. And the pitching staff has just been so daggum good that it hasn't really mattered. So,
no.
So when you pair those things together, being at their best, this team will be really, really hard to beat. And we've seen flashes of it, right? That run rule at Louisiana Tech when they beat Alabama, such as that. But when they can piece all of it together, the team will be significantly tough to beat.
You know, there has not been a single team in this difficult schedule that has overwhelmed this pitching staff at any point.
Correct. And you know, that they haven't played phenomenal offenses. The best offense they played was probably Mississippi State. But even them, I mean, they really struggled against freshman pitchers. That wasn't even the frontline pitching. Speaking on pitching, though, I wanted to get that question in to Oz tomorrow night for tomorrow night's game, whether or not he was going to do the inning-by-inning approach. He said he's going to extend some guys. If I had to guess, that means that Cam Sundstrom is probably going to start tomorrow. He didn't pitch throw at all this weekend.
Crabtree didn't throw.
So I think you'll probably see a mix of those two guys because he did throw some freshmen yesterday against
So if I'm hearing what you're saying, then the only thing that they're lacking at this point, and we're nitpicking here, splitting hairs, is consistency on the offensive side.
Yes, and defensively. They've had some defensive woes that I think, you know, it's just kind of baseball sometimes. But like I said, you can't lose that ball in left field, the Gillespie loss that ended up being an inside the park home run on Friday, you know, that extended Colby's outing. Yeah. There's just certain things like that. Yeah. But again, those things are expected to happen this early in the season, and my argument is they're still 14-2. Yeah.
Everything went wrong on that play. It not only bounced over his head, he lost his balance when he turned around to try to get it. And that was just one of those freaky things. But you know, Dima, again, that happened right out of the gate, and if you were watching the game, I don't think anybody that's been following them was that concerned.
Correct.
Was that concerned at that point?
Correct. Where it cost them, though, was like the other night against Mississippi State. They had a chance to get out of the inning, you know, fumbled the ball that Russo did or whatever it is. They've had points in big games where they've dropped balls or things like that, and that's where it just can't happen.
Four big games coming up this week.
Yes. And he's right about Arkansas State. Now, they did cool off a little bit this weekend. They almost got swept out at Oral Roberts, but they did salvage the series on Sunday to take one from Oral Roberts. So maybe they kind of came back down to earth a little bit, but they're still a really good test this weekend out in Jonesboro.
Losing to Oral Roberts, I'll bet you their coach had something to say about that.
I'm glad he's back, aren't you?
Well, Oral Roberts was in the World Series a couple seasons ago.
Hey, number 6 in perfect game, number 7 in the coaches poll in D1, number 10 in Baseball America, and number 1 in RPI. Basketball is a good story, too. They lost yesterday, but what a courageous run through the tournament. Dima was at the game yesterday. We'll get an update from there and talk a little b-ball. Hang on.
Southern Miss to the top.
All right, welcome back, everybody. I want to tell you, we're having some technical issues with sunspots and atmospheric conditions and other problems. So if you're having difficulty with the broadcast, we would remind you can tune into the podcast, which will be coming up just a couple of minutes after we go off the air. All right, basketball season ends, 19 wins. The team goes 3-1 in the Sun Belt tournament. Dima was at the game yesterday where the season finally drew to a conclusion. And Dima, what was it you saw?
Yeah, I mean, you know, playing their fourth game in, what would it be, 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. So that was their fourth game. against a really good Troy team. You know, Troy, number one seed for a reason. I really thought that their defensive play especially, you know, kind of carried the day. Southern Miss really started off well. They actually had the lead in the early parts of that game. But Troy was in man coverage. And so once they switched to zone, it really bothered Southern Miss. So really the last 10 minutes of the first half, Troy was able to push their lead from, I think it was like 25-22, and then they went on a 10-0 run over like 6 or 7 minutes where Southern Miss just couldn't score the basketball. They couldn't get inside. They couldn't really do anything scoring the ball. And Troy pushed that lead to about 13-14, and it really stayed that way all the way through the rest of the game until the very end. But, I mean, there was a sequence where Troy went almost 10 minutes without scoring a field goal in the second half, almost 10 minutes of full game time where Troy did not make a shot. But Southern Miss kept sending them to the line so they couldn't ever get back in the game because Troy, I think it was something like 38 free throws off the top of my head, where they were able to get to the line that many times.
And they shot at 82%.
Correct.
From the free throw line.
And Southern Miss, being a team who shoots the free throw ball well, actually missed 7 shots, which ended up, I think, being the difference. So,
and it was only an 8-point differential. Of course, they got it down to as close as 4 points there in the second half. But a couple of things that jumped out to me is one of the things that's kind of been nagging them all year long is the lack of a 3-point threat. They were 2 for 19, the Eagles were, from the 3-point area. You know, 2 for 19, which is, right, just a little over, a little less than 20%. Yeah, which is not good. And again, 4 guys carried the entire scoring brunt for Southern Miss. I mean, you had the 3 guys in double figures led by
Tavares,
of course, and then Binet's been playing well, and Weeks, and then Dylan Brumfield had 9 points, but that was it. I mean,
right.
4 guys comprised the entire scoring total for Southern Miss, and they still almost won the game, going every single day for 4 days. The only other thing to me that's more remarkable than how they finished is how Georgia Southern is going to finish. Because
I'm rooting for them.
I am too. And they played, what, 5 days in a row?
5 days in a row. This is their 6th game. Back on Tyleek Weeks, though, and this is another testament to Troy's defense. This is a guy who's been scoring 30 points almost every single game in the Sun Belt tournament. He had 5 points in the first half. 5. He only had 5 points in the first half, which ended up, you know, that to me, that it was like the last 10 minutes of the first half was just dictated the rest of the game. Mm-hmm. But again, Southern Miss had their chances to win that game last night. Troy did not score for almost 10 minutes of game time in the second half. But again, Southern Miss just kept fouling them. And Jay Ladner said it in his post-game press conference. He said, listen, we tell our guys, of course, not to foul. But if you do foul, don't make it obvious, right? And they were just almost over-aggressive at times. Like, there was times where Southern Miss would get stops, and then Southern Miss would, you know, a silly foul on the over-the-back on the rebound, or, you know, a reach-in foul with 4 seconds on the shot clock. Things like that just kept sending Troy to the free throw line. And since Southern Miss was really just trading baskets with Troy's free throws during that 10-minute stretch, they could never cut the lead. When they finally were able to cut the lead was when they started scoring. And Troy still wasn't scoring, by the way.
A couple of other notes. Tavares, 12 for 16 from the field. Had a couple of people ask me this morning, do you think that Southern Miss would have been any different if they'd have had Tavares in the lineup the whole season? And I said, really not, because as we have picked this scab, I don't know how many times on this show, it all comes down in the Sun Belt Conference to how you play that 1 week. And he was at full bore, you know, for the tournament.
Sure.
And wound up putting up 32 points yesterday. So they had full strength. They just didn't get any points off the bench, and again, lack of a consistent 3-point shot. They almost only lost by 8 points after playing 4 straight days. It was a pretty remarkable effort.
How much of what you saw yesterday, Dima, would you attribute to perhaps fatigue?
I wouldn't say much. Maybe there were some guys off the bench, such as Izzy. He kind of looked gassed towards the end. But, I mean, sometimes when you look up the score, you know, you're down 16 or whatever. But, you know, I wouldn't say they looked fatigued. I'm just telling you that Troy's defense, especially when they went into zone, really stalled a lot of what Southern Miss is trying to do. Like Kelly said and Jay Ladner documented, they're not a three-pointing shooting team. Their offense is to drive the basketball and, you know, get the and-ones, get the, you know, point plays. They have about four guys who can go from the top of the key to the hole in like a split second. So when you go into zone, you have more bodies down there, right? So it forces Southern Miss to make three-point shots or mid-range shots that just weren't following.
And if Tegra Ize was tired, it was because in some of the earlier games, Benet was getting into foul trouble.
Yeah, he played a lot of minutes.
Played a lot more than
he
used to.
And I don't mean to single him out. They were probably all tired. I'm just saying that there were some moments where, you know, he was kind of lagging behind the rest of the pack on the turnaround or whatever.
But overall, he had a daggum good tournament. He really played
well.
Yeah, he
really did. I mean, obviously, he played his best basketball.
I'm going to put both you boys on the spot.
I know where you're going.
They ended up with 19 wins, won two of three of the last regular season game, beating South Owl and Troy, and then run off three in a row before they're finally defeated in the tournament. I believe this was a successful season. Dima?
Maybe. Yeah, you know, it certainly ended well. I mean, it was definitely a season where, you know, when you had Tavares, that was really what you saw. That they probably won more games than they lost with him on the floor. So you wonder what the team would have been like if he would have been playing through that stretch in January and February.
A bounce here or there, they could have easily been a 20-win team.
Sure.
Yeah, but it still comes down to this week.
Right. But as Jay Ladner would tell you, you know, their goal is to win the tournament and to make the NCAA tournament, and they didn't reach that goal. So I don't know what the definition of successful is, I guess, is my thing.
Kelly?
Boy, spoken like a true politician, Dima. Way to go. Here's the way I'm going to answer your question, Bob. Do I think that the Eagles did enough to keep Coach Ladner to finish out his contract next year? Yes, I think Jay Ladner will be back next year. Whether people listening like that, don't like that, I just think that he will be back next year. He has 1 year left on his contract. Southern Miss has not been necessarily about buying out, you know, contracts, specifically basketball ones. So I think it was a good enough season that Jay Ladner will be back next year, my guess.
South Alabama's in the NIT. Were there any other schools that were invited to the NIT in the league?
That's still to be determined. Jay Ladner did make a case for his team to be put into the NIT tournament, considering he pointed to how close they played with some of the SEC opponents, and then, of course, the three wins in the Sun Belt tournament. So that is to be seen. I would assume that'd be announced in the next day or two if they were able
any
to get...
Any chance, you think?
Well, I mean, I would say you never know, because a lot of teams decline the bid. And I think you might hear some things, especially after Selection Sunday, which I think is this Sunday, right? Mm-hmm. So maybe it will be later this week when they figure that out, all that stuff out. But yeah, South Alabama, of course, got the bid. But I want to go back to Georgia Southern, you know, tonight and just what they've been able to do. I don't think they've made the tournament since 1992, which was, I think, the last time they made the Sun Belt tournament. I think I saw that on Twitter this morning. So I'm a big Georgia Southern Eagle tonight, because I just think that would be. That's a Cinderella story if you've ever seen one. I mean, six wins, six straight games. I mean, that's ridiculous.
However,
you guys like that format, though, don't you? Both of you have kind of expressed that you like the format.
I think there's pros and cons to it, right? The pro is that you're rewarding regular season. The con is, like what happened this year, and South Alabama was a really, you know, South Alabama and Arkansas State, when you have a tie for second, and whoever wins the tie based on these computer tiebreakers gets the two seed and gets to play in the semifinals. But then, you know, if you were tied for second like Arkansas State was, and they fall all the way to the seventh seed,
that's a problem.
And the fact now that Georgia Southern, and I understand what you're saying about being an Eagle fan tonight, but if you want Southern Miss to have a chance to get into the NIT,
that's a great argument. You want Troy to win.
Yes, right. You want Troy to win tonight, because then Troy,
which is favored, right?
Troy is favored, sure. But Troy then would get the NCAA bid. Most likely, Southern Miss would get an NIT bid over Georgia Southern if either one of them are getting an NIT bid. So if you want the Eagles to play some more, you got to be cheering for Troy tonight.
Yeah. But overall, man, they put up a heck of an effort in the tournament. I don't think anybody can argue.
And we talked about it. It all comes down to this week. And I thought they favored themselves. They represented the school pretty well.
And that's what Jay Ladner said in the press conference today. He said, "Listen, we talk about it all the time, but we were playing our best basketball at the right time to play the best basketball. And sometimes, like, the shots just don't fall." I don't really think they played necessarily terrible yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, how many points did Troy have? 78. And how many free throws? Like 30. So they scored more than Troy as far as field goals.
Hey, Eagle Tire West invites you to come see them if you're in the market for premium Goodyear tire products. Or if you need some work on your truck or your auto, they can do it. Eagle Tire West, they're located on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Family operated since 1985. Goodyear Tires, full service, big Southern Miss supporters. We appreciate all they do. Hey, don't forget about the podcast. It'll be up just a few minutes after we leave the air. Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, YouTube. Tell Alexa or Siri to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour.
Big news from Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel. We've moved. You'll now find us directly behind our old building, right by Sawmill Animal Hospital. We're still your trusted electrical distributor, carrying everything from conduit to tape. And don't forget our full line of Milwaukee tools. Whether you're a contractor or a DIY pro, stop by the new Robinson Electric Supply at 1222 West 6th Street and see what's lighting up Laurel. Robinson Electric Supply. New location, same trusted service.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
All right, our good friends at Jewel Masters sponsor the fourth segment of the Super Talk Eagle Hour, and that's where you need to go now if you have gold, silver, or old coins, maybe coins and jewelry that you're not using anymore, the jewelry in particular. You want to just get rid of some gold that maybe you don't wear that anymore. Nobody knows more about it than the good folks at Jewel Masters. They've been doing it longer than anybody in Hattiesburg, and they will give you top dollar. It'll always be confidential. It'll always be quick, and you will always leave Jewel Masters with cash in your hand. So if you want to sell gold, silver, old coins, and jewelry, go by see Marty Vick at Jewel Masters.
And if you're going to take gold to Jewel Masters or anywhere, you better have an armed guard.
Yeah, well, you seen
what the price of gold is?
It's pretty valuable nowadays. So if you really want to get rich, take your gold
to
Jewel Masters. MCS Home Center reminds you for home repair, home remodeling, home construction. They have everything you need. MCS is Hattiesburg's new improvement home center. Local folks eager to serve you, 7329 Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. We sure appreciate those good folks. Dima mixing news and notes, and I hear they're plenty.
There are plenty. And let's start with softball. Man, the softball team, you know, just continues to win. 4-1 over the weekend out at the Jacksonville Spring Break Invitational. Their record 18-9 currently for the softball program heading into conference play. And guys, you know, we obviously talked about, and it's no disrespect to these teams that they've played, but we talked about getting confidence, winning games before conference play. And right now, 18-9. I mean, that's a really good start for them.
With the youngest squad that she has had.
Correct. And this is a team who I still don't think has hit a home run yet, which is just crazy. I'm going to check that in a minute while you talk about NFL. Here's what they have this week. They have at Southeastern tomorrow night, on Tuesday night, UL this weekend. Obviously, Louisiana perennial softball team. You know, they've kind of dropped off, I guess, over the past couple of seasons, but they're 16-10 to open conference play. So that's here. That's here in Hattiesburg, Louisiana, coming to Hattiesburg to open conference play for softball. Some Sunbelt news. Louisiana Monroe basketball. Phil Cunningham was fired this afternoon. 4-28 overall, 1-17 in Sunbelt play this year. He was a first-year head coach there at Louisiana Monroe. He's gone. And, you know, guys, I mean,
go ahead.
I'm going to say it, and there might be some conversation about moving their women's basketball coach to head coach of the men's.
Yeah, Scotty Fletcher, of course, was the women's coach at Monroe this year, and they put the Lady Eagles out of the basketball tournament, beat them 2 out of 3 this year. Scotty Fletcher started his coaching career. He's from Petal. Mm-hmm. And started his coaching career as an assistant to Steve Knight. So cut his teeth in coaching with men's basketball. Then went down to
pretty good mentor.
Yes, and had a great run with the women's coach at Pearl River. Got the Monroe job, but I don't know if Scotty's interested in getting back into the men's game. But if he is, I think he would be a great candidate for that Monroe job.
Three home runs for softball, by the way, this weekend. So that was their first three of the season. I just
saw this Thomas Crabtree. This shouldn't surprise anybody. Going to start tomorrow night, Dima?
Really? That's actually is a surprise to me. Yeah. I would have thought it would have been Sundstrom.
Right. Other news and notes. Our sources in Wayne County, Bob, are telling us that the Wayne County School Board has called a special meeting this afternoon to, we are told that from our sources, that Tracy Lampley, former Southern Miss great, is going to be named the new head football coach at Wayne County High School. Lamp has been an assistant coach at Ocean Springs, and if that winds up being the case, we certainly wish him nothing but the best. I know he's one of your favorite interviews, Bob, in all the years of doing this show, yes, Tracy Lampley.
Absolutely good.
Yeah, always open to being on the show. News from the National Football League dealing with the New Orleans Saints. Demario Davis, the outstanding linebacker, gone from the Saints. He has agreed to a deal with the New York Jets. Boy, talk about going from the frying pan into the fire. The Saints to
leave
the Jets.
Leave me in New Orleans, please.
Yeah, but with the Jets, their uniforms are green, and apparently they got a lot of green that they're willing to put in Demario Davis's hands. But good news for the Saints, and Dima can talk about this as far as where they go with the draft now. ETN, the running back from Jacksonville, has agreed as a free agent to come to the New Orleans Saints. More news about that coming, but with ETN in the backfield, that could change the way that they attack this upcoming draft in late April.
No doubt. Obviously, ETN from Clemson, and he was paired with Trevor Lawrence, who's also from Clemson there at Jacksonville. Pretty good season. And I don't really know. Really, the thought was that they were going to go after Jeremiah Love in the draft, try to get him. I don't know, with ETN and Kamara now in your backfield, if you get another running back, or maybe they go, you know, linebacker or receiver. You know, they've gone with Ohio State players a lot over the past few seasons. Carnell Tate is a guy who I think they might like from Ohio State.
You think he's still going to be? Do you think Tate will be there?
They have the eighth pick. I mean, I think I think he'll still be there. I mean, you're going to have Mendoza going, you know, probably one or two. Arvell Reese from Ohio State, Caleb Downs from Ohio State. So, lots of talent on the top. So, but I thought they were going to get Jeremiah Love. So now with that move, that would tell me that maybe running back wouldn't be their first choice. Now I don't know if you build a franchise around Travis Etienne, but I think you can use him and Kamara in your backfield and going out and get another skill player on the outside.
When is the draft, guys?
The draft is April. Yeah, last weekend of April. And Bob, we saved the best for last because we know you're a huge fan. So we are here to tell you that the Kansas City Chiefs have announced that Kelce, their tight end, is coming back for another year. Travis Kelce, another year with the Kansas City Chiefs.
Well, what makes me happy is that means Taylor will be there for all the games.
You're a big Swiftie, I know that.
Yes, I am.
Louie will also be there, Kelly's dog.
Yes.
Really? Will he be?
He will be relieving himself on the 50-yard line.
On the artificial turf.
Correct. Like he did on my carpet.
On the logo.
Yes.
Yes, on the logo.
I'm so embarrassed. I'm going to have a talk with that young man.
You need to give him a spanking.
Yes.
All right, this week on the Eagle Hour, we'll have Kyle Morrison, Cross Sibley, McCarty English, lots of baseball, and we'll be talking about other good stuff.
Yeah, potential rule changes in the NFL.
They're terrible. Some of them are just terrible. Southern Miss.
To the top.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.